Sit with the poor, so we appreciate, we thank Allah, we're grateful to Him. Sit with the poor, so you realize, you know, the blessings that you have. And love them. Don't be like, because it can happen to anyone. This person is poor today. God forbid, we might be poor tomorrow. Okay? It makes us realize a lot of things. And we'll understand the hardships they go through. Sit with them. But don't sit with the rich, because a lot of times, not all the time, not a lot of times, the rich, you know, they have the wealth and they are like, God forbid, doing haram and all that. But there are a lot of other rich people too that they don't sin in it. It's not that if they're rich that they're definitely sinning. But this is a general idea the Prophet is saying. Some people are like, oh, I'm going to be with the rich person. You know, oh, you know, oh, I like to move with the rich people or the important people. I don't stay with the poor people. The Prophet says, no, stay with the poor people. Okay? The Prophet is saying no otherwise. He says, sit with the poor people and love them. And stay away from the rich. Don't be thinking that, you know, if I'm with the rich, you know, my status is going to be something. No. Stay away. And do not desire their wealth. Some people, when they're with the rich, oh my God, look at the car that he has. Oh my God, look at that big house he has. I want that. Oh, I want this, that. You know, they start desiring. The Prophet says, don't. Don't desire their wealth.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Okay, I got another saying of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The disciples said to the Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, O Spirit of Allah, with whom must we sit? And Prophet Jesus said, those who remind you of Allah when you look at them, those whose speech increases your knowledge, and whose deeds draw you to the hereafter. Remember something like that? Prophet had also said, a friend should be like this. Prophet Jesus is saying a similar thing. Okay? He said, those who remind you of Allah, when you look at them, when they ask the Prophet, who do we sit with? Prophet Jesus said, those who remind you of Allah, when you look at them, whose speech increases your knowledge and whose deeds draw you to the hereafter. We talked about this. I'm not going to talk more about this hadith. You guys understand what Prophet Jesus is saying here, right? Okay. Another saying of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Do not sit but with every scholar who calls you from five states to five states. This is a little difficult one, and I'll explain you. From doubt to certainty, from hypocrisy to sincerity, from desire to fear, from arrogance to humility, and from deceit to honesty. Prophet is saying, do not sit but with every scholar who calls you from five states to five states. Like, for example, from doubt. Like, for example, I'm doubtful, right? Like, you know what? I don't know if this is true. Are we really supposed to? Is really, does Allah really exist? You know, doubt. Mm. Right? So if I should not sit with a person who is going to increase our doubts. Mm-hmm. You know, if I go and the person says, you know what, about the salat, you know, that we pray five times a day, I really doubt it. There's nothing in the Quran that says we're supposed to pray three rakats for Maghrib and 4 rakat for dhuhr. You know, he puts a doubt in your mind. He says, don't sit with that kind of person who puts doubts in your mind. Sit with the person that will increase your yaqeen, your certainty. All right, you guys understand this? Is it too hard for you? Kinda?
No, it's easy.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
All right. And from hypocrisy, a person that who calls you from 5 states, a person who calls you from hypocrisy to sincerity. Okay. Sit with a person, like for example, God forbid, you have nifaq in you, like hypocrisy. Like, for example, you say something and you do something. Something else. This person says, you know what? Don't do this. This is haram. This is not good. This is hypocrisy. Whatever you say, do it. Okay? Or whatever you believe in, do it. Okay? You you believe in something and you're doing something else. Like the hypocrites at the time of the Holy Prophet, they used to pray, they used to do all kinds of things, everything, and they come to the masjid, they come for Jamaat and Salatul Jummah and everything. But their plans were something, they believed in something else. They had plans, they had evil plans, and they were hypocrites. So a scholar who takes you from hypocrisy to sincerity, sit with him. Okay? Don't sit with the person that, you know, he will make you a hypocrite. Don't sit with that person. And from deceit to honesty, another point is, you sit with a scholar who is taking you from the path of deceit to honesty. He's making you more honest. Like, for example, you're not true to your words and all that. And he says, no, this is haram. Don't do this. Do this. Okay? That kind of stuff. All right. This is a very little difficult saying, so I'm just going to stop here for that one, and we'll just go to the next one.
Alif ba ta tha jim ha kha. Alif ba ta tha jim ha kha. Dal zal ra zain. Dal zal ra zain. Sin shin sad da ta za. Sin shin sad da ta za. Ayn ghayn fa qaf. Ayn ghayn fa qaf. Kaf lam mim nun ha waw ya. Kaf lam mim nun ha waw ya. Ahruf arabi mufida bil quran sadida wa biha aqra qurani وبها أقرأ قرآني حتى يكمل إيماني الله الله حتى يكمل إيماني الله الله حتى يكمل إيماني.
Imam Ali alayhi salam said, sit with the wise and your intellect will be perfected, and your soul will be ennobled, and your ignorance will depart from you. So we're supposed to sit with a wise person. Person who is wise. Don't sit with a fool. You know why? Because our intellect will decrease. Our intelligence will decrease. He's going to be just talking foolish talk all the time. You will not gain anything. If you want to really gain something, sit with a person that has good intellect, who's wise. Okay? And the one who uses his intellect. Then your intellect will increase. Your soul will be ennobled. That means your soul, like for the person who is wise, then he's not gonna do haram. He's gonna stay away from sinning and all that. So it's good for our soul when we sit with that kind of person. And our ignorance will depart from us when we sit with that kind of person. Okay, another saying of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please recite a salawat. Imam Ali alayhi salam said that sitting with people of base desires, the ones who have carnal desires, you know, eat, all kinds of, you know, just base desires, okay? And causes heedlessness of one's faith. And then one becomes careless. If we sit with that kind of person, then we become careless of our faith, okay? And it invites Satan. Shaitan will come. It's an invitation for Shaitan. When a person becomes careless about God, he does not care about God or anything, then Shaitan will take him. He'll take over. Correct? Get it? Okay. All right. Now we're in a gathering, right? When we leave a gathering, what should we do? We sat in a gathering. When we leave a gathering, what should we do? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi did not leave an assembly, did not leave a gathering, no matter how insignificant that gathering was, without seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he used to leave the gathering, he used to say, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayhi. Astaghfirullah. He used to say that 25 times.
When he left a gathering.
The philosophy behind it, I don't know. Probably because sometimes when we are in a gathering, God forbid, we might have said something, we might have done something, whatever. So we should seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we leave a gathering. It's mustahab. It's not wajib. It's mustahab. When we leave a gathering, recite astaghfirullah. Prophet used to recite it 25 times. The Prophet said, the kafara, the expiation or kafara for sitting in assemblies or gathering is to say, glory be to you, O Allah. Okay? That means, and praise be to you. There is no God but you. O Lord, forgive me and accept my repentance. This is when he was leaving. He used to say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah. And then he used to say, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh. Okay? So, this is the etiquette of sitting in it. And how to sit, we talked about how to sit. We talked about we should face Qibla when we're sitting. It's mustahab. When we're reading a book, we should face Qibla. We're reading, reciting Quran. When we're doing our reading, our like we have an exam, we're studying for our exam, sit towards the Qibla, facing the Qibla. It's good for you. Okay? We talked about that. We talked about we should not sit with in certain gatherings. Right? And what else did we talk about? You guys remember? Who do we sit with? Who should we not sit with? Which gathering should we go to? Which gathering should we should not sit
we
in?
We should sit in a gathering where Allah is remembered, and do not sit in a gathering where they're all backbiting and slandering.
Ahsant. We talked about all of that. And then the last thing we talked about is, when we leave the gathering, what should we do?
We should seek forgiveness from Allah by reciting Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh 25 times.
Prophet used to do that 25 times, right? Very good. Beautiful job. Great. Anything else? No. All right. That's it then. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Here's Sister Batul again. With a wonderful story.
It's story time.
Once a child was walking in the forest,
going to the left and then the right.
So impressed, he pondered the sight,
seeking to discover the hidden secret.
Keep yourself tuned in here with Sister Batul.
Well, let's go.
It's story time, story time.
Salaamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Today's story is about this hen that laid golden eggs. The story goes, once upon a time, a farmer and his wife owned a hen. Like others of its kind, the hen would lay a shining white egg for them each day. But one day, instead of the shining white egg, the farmer found to his amazement that the hen had laid an egg of solid gold. Hardly able to believe his eyes, the farmer rushed to inform his wife. "Oh my God, look at this. Our hen has laid us a golden egg." The wife answered, "You must be joking." But when she went to look, it was true enough. There was an egg of pure gold. Greatly delighted, the farmer sold the golden egg for a good sum of money. He used the money to buy many things, which both he and his wife were in need of. To their good luck, from then on, the hen laid a golden egg for them each day. The farmer sold each egg for a good price, with the result that he and his wife grew richer and richer and richer and richer. The farmer's wife, however, grew more greedy as she grew richer. She told her husband one morning, "Our hen gives us an egg a day. This means she must have a huge stock of golden eggs in her stomach. Let us cut her open and get all the eggs at once. That way we will be able to get a large sum of money at one time instead of getting it in installments like every day." The husband listened to this and he said, "Not a bad idea. It will save me that daily visit to the market to sell an egg at a time." So the farmer and his wife held the hen and, having killed it, cut it open. But to their amazement, they found how many eggs in there? They found no golden eggs in the hen's stomach. In fact, the inside of the hen was just like any other hen. "Oh dear," cried the farmer, "what have we done? We have killed the hen that gave us all our needs. Now what will we do?" But his wife, of course, could not say what they would do. She was feeling very sad indeed. She realized that both she and her husband had paid the price for their greed. I hope you enjoyed the story and think about the moral in it. And I shall be back in our next session. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
I am a Muslim.
See you next time, same time, same channel.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Thanks to Trump, European Commission insiders say an atmosphere of fear and uncertainty continues to hang over EU-US trade relations. Meeting on Monday, EU trade ministers agreed the bloc must broaden its commercial horizons and seek additional stable partners.
What we are working on continuously, that we have to diversify our trade. The commissioner gave us a state on ongoing negotiations with India and a number of other countries and regions in Asia, Middle East and Africa.
It emerged at Monday's meeting, attended by senior White House officials, that the EU has already paid €173 billion for US energy imports this year, much of it for costly liquefied natural gas shipped across the Atlantic. Those charges filter through industry and ultimately onto consumers. It's a stark contrast to the much cheaper Russian gas that once powered the EU. The head of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, struck a deal with Trump at his golf course in Scotland last July. He had been threatening 50% US tariffs on all EU imports, but in the end they settled on a baseline 15% levy. Now Washington officials are annoyed at the EU over its slow implementation of that deal. Punishing 50% US tariffs on EU steel and aluminium remain firmly in place. The current trade arrangements have drawn sharp criticism from inside the European Parliament.
Trump is the worst bully in the schoolyard. He picks on everyone. You should never give in to blackmail. The more money we promise to pour into the US, the more they will demand from us.
EU citizens are equally scathing of the current US administration.
I think it's just right now a pause maybe before, I know, like maybe then Trump decides to impose tariffs again or to increase them on us. And plus right now with the Ukraine plan, again, like the recently disclosed Ukraine plan, is going to be other tensions as well.
If Vance is taking the place of Trump because he's talking about that now, I think it's even more dangerous. And in a way, even if they go back and they will be less rude in a few years, I think the tune is set, if we can say this in English. I think it's very dangerous. Yeah, I think so.
Government leaders are being accused of surrendering far too much ground to Trump on trade, leaving millions of already struggling EU businesses and households to shoulder the cost. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Italian prosecutors will have to decide whether to put the suspects, who today are between 65 and 80 years old, on trial. They are suspected of voluntary murder aggravated by cruelty and abject motives, a crime which has no statute of limitations and carries a maximum life sentence.
Some political analysts believe that the whole Sarajevo sniper tourism affair can also be read through the lens of geopolitics. They suspect that there are governments who are trying to link Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić to the so-called sniper safaris that took place in Bosnia in the 1990s.
The risk that this affair is turned into a political tool clearly exists. Some may be eager to find political implications in these murders, but they would be wrong. Those were just criminal acts.
I think it could well be politicized because the information that we have at the moment is very murky indeed, and no concrete details are being given as to what is actually being investigated. Neither the numbers, nor the people involved, nor the countries involved.
During the Rome press conference, Gavazzeni also pointed out that Italy's military intelligence agency was aware of the abominable trips when they took place, but nothing was done to stop them. Max Civili, Rome.
Next to the conscientious objector's commemorative stone, a demonstration rooted in conscience. Demonstrators, some from other parts of Europe, defying the elements and threats of arrest, holding placards that have become symbols of nonviolent action.
What people here are doing, and what the widespread wave of civil disobedience that we've started with Defend Our Juries, is against the prescription of Palestine Action. And that prescription, which is now being challenged in the High Court next week, is basically what we're arguing, that it is unjust, it's immoral, and it should have never happened. And it is really a breach of everyone's civil liberties. It is really an attack on democracy.
Before long come the arrests. Since these protests first began in the summer, British police have arrested more than 2,000, charging hundreds under terror laws in a move the demonstrators say is to stifle dissent against the UK's complicity in Israel's genocidal war on Palestinians.
They've attempted to use terrorism legislation to remove from all public discourse the one body of people in this country who, as citizens, have stood up and put their bodies on the line to materially interrupt an economic, military, and diplomatic collaboration in genocide.
Palestine action was prescribed by former Home Secretary Yvette Cooper in June this year. Membership of or support for the group is punishable by up to 14 years in prison.
The government is complicit in the genocide in Gaza, and they will do anything to criminalize any resistance against it, including old people sat with signs saying, "I oppose genocide."
In an unprecedented move in British history, Palestine Action is challenging its prescription in this court starting November 25th in the form of a judicial review. If the High Court votes in favor of Palestine Action, the thousands of arrests and the hundreds of charges that were brought against demonstrators like these under the Terrorism Act of 2000 will also be quashed. A victory for Palestine Action would also have repercussions for its jailed members, six of whom are now on an open-ended hunger strike in prisons across Britain. Cyprus, London.
Israel has struck a residential building in the heart of the Beirut suburbs. The third and fourth floors of a nine-story building were badly damaged, with debris filling the road, damaging cars and property. Deputy head of Hezbollah Political Bureau confirmed to Press TV that a senior commander was targeted in the strike.
This is an attempted assassination, targeting a key leader within the resistance. What matters now is that we document this as a clear act of aggression, an escalation we cannot and will not tolerate. It is our responsibility at the national level to establish a response that confronts Israel's attempt to undermine our sovereignty.
Although the Israeli statement said the target was a commander in the resistance, people near the scene say Israeli strikes are targeting everyone.
I am from this neighborhood. Every time they come up with this claim that they are targeting a member of the resistance, we are all members of the resistance. I want to tell our prime minister, who was a judge in the international court, if your diplomacy can't protect us and solve our crisis, then leave us to be and don't speak in our name. And this mechanism is obviously biased towards Israel.
Alice believes the Israeli claims that Hezbollah has rehabilitated is merely preparing the ground for a larger escalation and a U.S. green light for this aggression.
This marks a new level of violation, and there are two potential outcomes. Either the resistance retaliates, which would escalate into a full-scale war, or they absorb this blow, which could embolden Israel to carry out further strikes. Both options are devastating. This is a turning point. With Israel seeking to normalize its escalation in Lebanon, backed by U.S. support, and with the Lebanese government failing to take action.
President Joseph Aoun called on the international community to intervene firmly to stop Israeli attacks on the country. Lebanon, he said, reiterates its call to the international community to assume its responsibility and intervene firmly and seriously to stop the attacks on Lebanon and its people. The Israeli strike on the southern suburbs of Beirut and the U.S. blessing are considered part of the growing pressure by both sides to enforce full surrender by Hezbollah and full compliance of the Lebanese government to disarm the resistance. However, many believe that this opens the way for different scenarios, especially if the resistance decides it is time to retaliate. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
In September this year, British Prime Minister Keir Starmer announced his government's plans to introduce mandatory digital ID for all British citizens by 2029. The announcement sparked fury across the full spectrum of the British political landscape, uniting forces who would otherwise disagree on pretty much everything else. the digital ID's plans have led to continuous protests, with thousands braving wintry weather conditions in London on Saturday to express their opposition to the plans.
We're here to protest digital ID. We're also here to make the point to people that they're already being tracked, they're already being surveilled and controlled by systems beyond their knowledge or control. And this is just an extra step. And this is almost a way for the government to act like we're giving our consent for them to track us. But they're doing it anyway.
Today,
the main justification given by Starmer for the rollout of digital IDs is to help the government's crackdown on illegal migration, leading to suspicions that the so-called migrant crisis was allowed to develop to then justify these types of draconian measures in response.
A massive fear that many Brits have is that the digital ID plans, in combination with a rumoured ban on the use of cash in the future, portends the creation of a dystopian AI-powered control grid where every move you make is subject to surveillance and censorship by the state in real time.
These protesters believe that enough of the country is opposed to the digital ID rollout, but that for mass non-compliance to become a realistic prospect, unity across the political spectrum is a must.
Anybody organising anything can be controlled by this, so we want everyone to unite in common cause. As you say in our leaflet here, Palestine and freedom fighters, indeed everyone, unite in common cause.
The British state has long wanted to introduce digital IDs, going as far back as when Tony Blair floated the prospect when he was Prime Minister in the 2000s. But with mass opposition already forming and one of the most unpopular governments in recent history at the helm, opponents are quietly confident in their chances of defeating the entire idea altogether. Isa Kadhimi, London.
Yemen's health minister Ali Shayban paints a stark picture of a health system suffocating under siege. Medicines are vanishing, chronic patients are deteriorating, children are dying before help can reach them. He called the shutdown of Sana'a International Airport a crime against humanity, especially after Israeli strikes destroyed its capacity, cutting off the only viable route for life-saving drugs. Families now face a brutal reality. No airport means no treatment, and no treatment means lives lost.
Today, we renew our call for the United Nations to operate flights and reopen Sana'a International Airport to save thousands of patients who urgently need to travel abroad for treatment. More than 250,000 patients require medical travel for serious and life-threatening conditions. Over 1,330 types of essential medicines, including immune therapies and other critical drugs, have not been allowed into the country due to the air blockade.
The ministry says thousands have been deprived of essential medications due to the air blockade. It warns that inaction would cause more deaths that can be simply prevented.
The continued closure of Sana'a International Airport clearly proves that the international humanitarian and health organizations that constantly preach about human rights are fully politicized and operate under American and Israeli influence. The clearest example is what is happening in Yemen, where thousands of people urgently need to travel for treatment but remain unable to do so as the airport remains closed to this moment.
Israel struck Sana'a International Airport in early May this year, damaging its runway, terminal, and several aircraft. The regime struck the facility again as Yemen continued its military operations against Israeli targets in response to its war on Gaza. Yemen's health ministry says the reopening of the airport, once a lifeline for the population, is an urgent humanitarian obligation, not a political convenience.
The health crisis continues to escalate as life-saving medicines remain blocked from entering the country. Officials warn that unless urgent steps are taken to restore medical access, thousands of vulnerable patients will face worsening conditions with no alternative options. Abdul Latif Loshali, Sana'a.
The streets of Tehran turning into rivers of remembrance. Coffins draped in flowers and the Iranian tricolor moving slowly from the main gate of Tehran University along major avenues towards the martyrs' memorial. Thousands lining the route, reciting prayers and chanting tributes for the fallen. The ceremony marking National Day of Unknown Soldiers honors fighters whose remains were recovered decades after the Iraqi-imposed war. Their sacrifice, officials say, remains the backbone of Iran's security.
You should not think they have died. According to Islamic teaching, they are alive with God. We are here to let these unknown soldiers know we remember them and are grateful for their sacrifice.
Among the crowd are veterans, families of martyrs, school children, and young volunteers, generations connected through shared memory and devotion to their homeland.
They sacrificed their lives for our homeland. That is the ultimate act of faith and love for the nation.
The unity of the people is what the martyrs expect from us, not distraction or division.
We are just like their families. We are here for them. I lost my own family, all martyred in the war, so I feel like a sister, a mother, to these unknown martyrs.
While huge crowds escort 100 martyrs to their final resting place, even more have converged on Imam Hussein Square for a special ritual marking the martyrdom anniversary of Lady Fatima Zahra, the daughter of the Prophet of Islam. Here, massive cauldrons of samanu, a sweet paste made from wheat germ, are stirred in turn by volunteers. This is more than a religious ritual. It is an act that fosters empathy and solidarity.
Everyone you see here has come out of love for our beloved lady. So as you can see, honoring martyrs is rooted in our culture, a tradition that never fades.
Two scenes, one spirit. Iran's culture of remembrance, transforming grief into faith. From Samanu offerings in Imam Hussein Square to salutes before the coffins of the unknown soldiers.
As Iranians bid farewell to these unknown martyrs, the participants say the sacrifice of these fallen soldiers is the foundation of Iran's unity, resilience, and security. Gisum Shahmadi, Tehran.
Just as they were
walking
the world, thinking of the past on an earth so vast,
waiting
to return. Just to know you, whoever you are, laugh with you, learn from you, open to you my heart. But soon when I say goodbye and move on, I'm a traveler just as they were,
walking
the world, thinking of the past on an earth so vast,
waiting
to return. just as they were, walking the world, thinking of the past on an earth so vast, waiting to return, waiting to return. To know you, I've learned so much.
Been a pleasure to know you, I've learned so much.
Pray for you, hope to meet you, my heart you have touched.
Pray for you, hope to meet you, my heart you have touched.
Remember me, so I might be with you. I'm a traveler, just as they were,
walking
the world, thinking of the past on an earth so vast,
waiting
to return, waiting to return, waiting to return, return to my
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Mahdi. Thank you for having me, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners of this program. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. First, Brother Muhammad is going to talk about the music or the musical miracle of the Noble Quran. Then, we all are going to listen to a recitation by a famous reciter of the Noble Quran. And at the end, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation from different aspects. Stay tuned.
إن هذا القرآن الذي جل فيه.
Dear audience, as always, in the first part, Brother Muhammad is going to talk about the miraculous music of the Noble Quran. Up to now, we have talked about a lot of different aspects of this issue, and now we're going to talk about a new one. Brother Muhammad, at your service.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, for today's program, I want to talk about certain expressions that are used in the Quran that, and certain words, which are rather strange and rarely used in the Arabic language, and they have a very specific meaning.
Interesting.
Okay, in Surah As-Saffat, when Allah wants to describe the fruit that exists in hell, the fruit that the inhabitants, the inmates of hellfire will eat, which is not a very delicious fruit. at it's all, a fruit which is that not a delicious thing. Actually does more harm to them and does not do any good to them. And, you know, it causes their intestines to burn and to rip apart and so on and so forth. So it's not a very good fruit to eat. And in fact, the water that they drink is also boiled water, which, again, basically messes up their bodies and their internal organs. Anyway, mm-hmm. So Allah says in Surah As-Saffat, verse 65, about the tree of Zaqqum. The name of the tree is Zaqqum. Mm-hmm. And the fruit of it, Allah describes it by saying, طَلْعُهَا كَأَنَّهُ رُؤُوسُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Now, this is a very unlikely and very remote way of describing
frightening
fruit. Yeah, and also a frightening one. It's Allah is comparing these fruits that exist on the tree of Zaqqum to the heads of devils. So this is something that's really scary and frightening. And imagine a fruit in front of you that looks like the head of a devil with horns and, you know, a very ugly face. And so Allah uses these kinds of comparisons in the Quran to describe certain concepts that one would not imagine such a comparison. And here we could see that this strange fruit that no one knows of, Allah compares it to the heads of devils. Another example is in Surah An-Najm.
To show how awful the hell is.
Yeah, exactly. In Surah An-Najm, when the Arabs say that, they say that we have sons, the sons are ours, and daughters are for God. They say the angels, are the daughters of God. Mm-hmm. And Allah says, تِلْكَ إِذَنْ قِسْمَةٌ ضِيزَ. The word ضِيزَ itself, it means that this is a very unfair division. That they're saying that Allah's part is the angels, which are his daughters, and the sons are ours. The word ضِيزَ is a very strange word itself. So using this word it's very uncommon to use this word in Arabic.
And the meaning itself?
And it means unfair.
Unfair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Allah says, tilka idhan qisma. Qisma means division or something that's distributed, okay? Dhiza,
mm-hmm.
It's very unfair. Not in the sense that, you know, sons are better than daughters, but according to them, they believe that sons are better and daughters are, you know, they're not as good as sons. So Allah is saying from their viewpoint, an unfair division. And Allah is using this word, Luisa. And of course, such a thing is not true. Allah does not have daughters. The angels are not male or female. They are, you know, they don't have a gender.
And maybe so wants to say that this kind of belief is rare. Using such a kind
exactly.
of word.
And it's, yeah, that's another point. True.
Okay, thank you, dear Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. You're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. Stay tuned. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, now in the second part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We're going to listen to the recitation of Surah Az-Zalzala, recited by Sheikh Anwar Shahat. Let's enjoy it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا
Dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. What you just listened to was recitation of Surah Al-Zalzala, recited by Sheikh Anwar Shahat. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, this surah begins with a verse that has a lot of the letter Zay in it. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا This sound of Zay, right after each other, it gives the impression of an earthquake. The sound of an earthquake, like a buzzing sound,
mm-hmm.
like when an earthquake comes. You know, there's this distinct sound. I remember once, like 10 years ago, 12 years ago, there was an earthquake in Qom, and the sound of it was something that resembled a zzz sound. I remember we were at our house, and then the whole house started shaking.
Actually, it resembles vibration.
Vibration, exactly. Whenever your cell phones vibrate, it makes a buzzing sound.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and that's the case with an earthquake. So just by this verse, Allah is depicting an earthquake, the sound of an earthquake. And Sheikh Anwar Shahad used the two maqams, Sika and Bayati. Okay.
Now let's talk about the tajweed points, brother.
Yes. الأرض الأرض Okay, we have mm-hmm. a Ra which is Sakin preceded by a Fatha. Okay, so and the letter of the Fatha is a Hamza. Hamza has to be pronounced with Tarqiq. Never could you find a Hamza which is pronounced with Tafkhin.
Mm-hmm.
Alif al-Mat could be pronounced with Tafkhin, but not Hamza, the letter Hamza.
That's right.
Okay, so we have to pronounce the Hamza with Tarqiq, but we have to pronounce the Ra with Tafkhim, and
right.
also the Dad with Tafkhim.
Thickness.
With thickness. إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها. Now, we have several letters of tafkhim in these verses, especially the second verse. وأخ the خا has tafkhim because it is a letter of استرلاء. The degree of the tafkhim is not so much because the kha is sakin. It has a sukun. It is unvoweled.
Yeah, so it's the second lowest level.
Kha. We have the second lowest level of tafkhim. Mm-hmm. And we said that in order to actually apply the second lowest level of tafkhim, we basically pronounce the letter of isti'la without changing the shape of the lips.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The lips are in a neutral position. They're not spread. They're not open vertically. They're just in a neutral position. وَأَخْرَجَتِلْ أَرْضُ. Again, we have a ضَاد and also ra with tafkhim. And finally, we have qaf with tafkhim with an alif ul-mad.
أثقال.
With a long vowel alif. And so we have the highest level of tafkhim for the qaf. أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَلْ. Again, we have a qalal. وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. You know, when you keep on pronouncing letters with tarqiq and tafkhim right after another,
it makes a kind of wave.
It's a wave, yeah. And it's like an earthquake. Earthquake is like, you know, it has a wave. So it reminds us of that as well. It's not, you know, monotonous, and it's not just tarqiq. We keep having tafkhim, tarqiq. We, you know, it alternates between tafkhim and tarqiq.
وَقَالَ
الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. So we keep having tafkhim, tarqiq. This makes this surah very beautiful and rhythmic. Just like I said, it's like the wave, like
That's
you
right.
said, like of an earthquake. يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ. We have a rule of nun sakina here, which is...
Because we have a tanween here.
Yes, we have a tanween, so we have a rule of nun sakina, because tanween and nun sakina are
the same,
essentially the same, because a tanween is in fact a short vowel plus a nun sakina.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of writing the nun sakina, they write the same short vowel twice.
That's right.
Okay, on top of each other. So we have two kasras. We have a tanween of kasra followed by ta, which is a letter of ikhfa,
concealment.
And as a result, we have to pronounce the nun sakina of the tanween with ikhfa. We have to approximate the place of articulation of the next letter, and at the same time make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. يَوْمَئِذٍ. See? You don't place the tongue in the place of articulation of ta. You don't say, يَوْمَئِذٍ. See, it gets really close, but it doesn't touch. And the sound is a lot different.
Yeah, we are not making noon sound completely.
Yes, the nasalization is partial.
Mm-hmm.
It's anthemi, it's oronasal. It's half, actually, it's mostly in the nose, and some of it also comes from the mouth.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور.